Welcome to the Compassionate Leaders Circle podcast. For thousands of years, the sages have known that compassion is a powerful force for good. In the last two decades, compassion scholars caught up with these sages, proving that there is an ROI to building loving communities and businesses. This podcast features leaders who can teach us about the power of compassion. Hayden and Jake, welcome to the Compassionate Leaders podcast. I'm so thrilled to have you and hear your story and hear about your products and your mission and your culture at Hydro Jug. And welcome. Where are you sitting today, by the way? Where are you?
So we are in one of our call rooms at our headquarters in Ogden, Utah.
Wonderful. And I'm in Sag Harbor, New York. So why don't we just start with the beginning? Hayden and Jake are brothers and they run this amazing business. And why don't we just start at the very beginning of how brothers come together and launch a business? So I'd love to hear your creation story.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, in our family, there's three brothers, it's just three of us. And the other one actually works for us as well. And he's a director at the business. So, we grew up always doing stuff together. So whether it was sports or just hanging out, spending time together, it was always the three of us. And it really just happened organically because we were all friends growing up and we did everything together. And when it was time or we had this idea to start a business, that's kind of just was our first reaction. Like, hey, do you think this is a good idea? And you have any money in your bank account, and let's do this. Yeah.
And how old were all three brothers at the time? Jake, why don't you take this one?
Yeah, so I was 21 when the ideas and the ball kind of started rolling. So you would have been how old?
So I was 24,
and then Nate joined just 2 years ago, so he would be
21.
About 21. So yeah, we're all younger when we started the company. Me and Hayden, we're still in school at the time, so still attending Weber State, both studying accounting. We were both actually working for the government at that time. I was doing an internship, and he was actually doing an internship as well. And so it's kind of funny. We would meet on our lunch break out there and like kind of collaborate and talk about next steps and yeah. So that's kind of the timeline there is when we started.
It's amazing that you started something in school and you have a sustainable business and you've hired people. And I read that you have 60 employees that are all under 30. Is that right?
I think we have one that's 32.
Yeah. That's your affirmative action program. Yeah. Excellent. So I am curious, we're going to get to the business a little more in depth in a minute, but for any parents out there that are trying to raise siblings that get along, any tips from how your parents raised you or how your upbringing was about, you know, I think it's extraordinary that siblings get along this well and want to continue to work together. And I'm imagining that's because of your parents. So tell me a little bit about your parents.
Yeah, for sure. So my mom comes from an Italian background where it was a big family and family was always first. And that's really just how we were raised. So, I mean, like you had your meals as a family. You always took care of your siblings and that was your first priority. We also grew up in a house where like family business was very important. So my dad, he had a landscaping company and my mom owned and operated several Subway franchises. So as you can imagine, we grew up in the summers digging trenches for landscaping and then in the winters being sandwich artists at Subway. So, but it was always that thing, like when our friends were going out and having a good time during the summer, it was like, hey, the family business needs you and needs you to participate for the success of the family. So we just kind of always had that like team-oriented family business, we're in this together type upbringing.
Yeah. Yep.
So I grew up with an Italian mama too, so I understand.
We can really relate then.
Yeah, that's funny. I never realized that. Yeah, me and Hayden have actually been working together probably since we were I was probably eight.
Yeah, young.
8 and 11. So yeah, it's really been a long time working together. And so yeah, it's been great.
That's amazing. I love it. So of all the products or services that you could provide with your entrepreneurial family background, tell me how you chose this one.
Yeah, I think a big part of our lives growing up was sports, and it just kind of translated into enjoying fitness and exercising and being in shape. So we were always very interested in the fitness industry and being a part of the community and how it evolves and grows. And the idea just really sparked when I was watching a fitness influencer on a YouTube video that was getting ready for a fitness competition. He was not happy with any of the options that the grocery store provided with a 1/2 gallon water bottle. And it just gave me the idea of like, why don't we make an awesome water bottle that overcomes all of these negatives and help them meet their fitness goals. So it was really cool because it helped us join this community and make a difference in this community. But it's also something that we're interested in and can be passionate about.
So the community being fitness people?
Yeah, so initially it very much was a niche market where we were very targeted on a fitness health conscious person and community. But as we're growing and expanding, we're seeing this be applicable in a much broader audience and apply to people. Like it's great for desk jobs. It's great for people that stay home and it just makes it easy, whether you're trying to cut soda or whether you're trying to recover quicker. We're just seeing all these different use cases, and our imagination with what we can become has really expanded with just kind of time and experience.
So Jake, tell me about your products, where you started and how they've evolved and how they're different than the other things on the market.
Yeah, definitely. So so we just saw, kind of like what Hayden said, we just saw, you know, the 1/2 gallon bottles that were on the market, and we saw like what they were missing. And we just thought, okay, what can we do to this product to meet the customer's needs? And so that was kind of the initial thing. And so, you know, one of them was like a lot of the openings were really small. They didn't have an integrated handle. They didn't have measurement scales. They weren't reusable. They weren't dishwasher safe. And so we just went and attacking like those weaknesses there. And that was kind of the product focus. So we started with three colors. We started with a clear bottle, a black, and a white. It's funny. We were looking at the pictures the other day of them coming in. It was, you know, like a palette of each showed up at my parents' house. And so we started with those. We hit the phones. We sold them to local supplement shops. We went to expos. That's the initially how we marketed them. Hayden started the e-commerce side, started building the Instagram and the social following. Around that time too, we saw like promise in the product. We took the money that we made from that first run and we added all these colors to it. And it was really exciting too. So we saw that, and then we get all these bottles in, and like a lot of the lids were ripped on them. So Hayden calls me and he's like, "Hey, we have a major problem here." He's like, "The lids are ripped." And I'm like, "What do you mean the lids are ripped? Like, you're kidding me." So we had it in our parents' shop at the time. And we go out there, and sure enough, something with the pressure in transit, had caused these lids to rip. And so we had to order in all new lids and manually and switch those out by hand. I kind of going down.
No, that was definitely.
No, it's a great story. It's the reality. I think sometimes people see your website now and they see your Instagram now.
Yeah.
And it's good to give them the real deal. Like what happens as you build a business? You have to have a lot of challenges, and often they're things that are not things you can plan for. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. And so then with the bottle too, we did have the handle integrated so people could carry it, but we had a lot of requests for, oh, is it insulated? And so we would listen to the customers, and then Hayden was very innovative, and he came up with a way to insulate the product and make it easier to carry around. And so that's when like the sleeve kind of came to fruition, and we started with that. And then from there, we just added more colors, more improvements to the bottle, as well as the lid, the sleeve as well. And then after, was it after that we did the straw too?
Yeah, the straw might have been first. The
straw might have been first, yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot of requests for straws.
Yep, and so came up with the straw. And so that's kind of how the progression of, I think, the hydrodrug product lines have come about, is by listening to the customers and meeting those customer needs.
And can you speak to your growth? So you're 5 years or 6 years in?
It's our fifth year.
Okay, and just tell me a little bit about how you've grown, either users, customers. Give me a little insight into growth.
Year over year, it just seemed like it's been more than like we could handle. So like the first year, it was I think 1,000x, and then and then last year we did 4x. So I mean, it's just been year over year, like we've just been growing exponentially. So
yeah, congratulations. And are you self-funded?
Yep.
Or you have investors?
Completely bootstrapped.
Congratulations. Excellent. I love it. So Compassionate Leaders Circle podcast likes to shine a light on people that are using their influence to help the planet, which you're doing by, you know, reducing landfill, thank you. Also things that help people. So why don't you tell me a little bit about your company's culture and mission and initiatives that you have going?
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, a big one is reducing like reusable single-use water bottle waste. It is a very big one and a focus of ours. We also, so right now, the corrugate market, no one's recycling. We pay extra money to have a separate can and a separate pickup for all of our corrugate to make sure that it goes to a recycling facility, where in like a few years ago, they would pay you for it. So a lot of that is ending up in landfills because of that, but we pay extra and we bail it, and we've invested in the equipment to make sure that gets taken care of properly. So as far as environmental aspects, we are very conscientious of that. We try to use sustainable packaging and put like recycled notes and stuff on our packaging. Those are things in the works. We are working on different material bottles that are even more sustainable. And so that is a mission inside of Hydrojug. The next one would be, as far as people go, we really want and are interested in helping people reach their goals, whether it's living a healthier lifestyle or just kind of the things I mentioned before. And we take that very serious, and we're very detail oriented in helping people and making them feel like they have a community that they can rely on and lean on. And we want to add value to the customer as much as possible.
So are you talking about health goals when you're talking about that? I mean, do you have initiatives where you reach out to your customers and talk to them about that?
Yeah, I think typically it would revolve around health, as far as like if you're trying to drink more water, whether it's like dietary or like recovery stuff. I think it always does revolve around that. We do a lot of email and SMS marketing, and as far as like social channels, we have a person that is dedicated and they only manage our inbox on social. So people are replying. We're very engaged with our customers and aware of their needs. And like Jake mentioned, that's how we come out with a lot of our products, is feedback from our customers.
So I am water challenged personally. I used to drink a lot of water when I was younger and I used to work out. I used to work out more. So I just turned 61, and I'm proud to say that I'm working out 3 times a week at a gym with a small group of socially distanced people. So what would you tell someone like me who drinks a lot of tea and coffee and is challenged by drinking water? What are your best tips for more water?
I can totally relate to that. Like, as you can see, like right here, I have my coffee. So definitely a coffee guy. But the one thing that I try to do is just at my desk over there, I keep my, there you go. I keep my Hydrojug by me. I keep it refilled. I take it with me to the gym. I just try to keep it with me at all times, because we all know that if you can make something convenient, it's easier to stick to those goals. And so I think that's like a big part of like the Hydrojug, is just having it with you. making it convenient to get your daily intake goals in. So, you know, you don't have to get up and refill it multiple times throughout the day. You know, like most people are trying to hit that gallon a day. So, I mean, fill it up twice and you're there. And so, I mean, that would be my advice. You have anything to add?
Yeah. No, I think that's great. I appreciate it. The size, you have kind of like a Hydrojug size coffee mug.
It it looks bigger in the video, but you're right. I do have some I have some spring water over there, and yeah. I'm gonna be actually one of the reasons I chose to interview you is like I need to, you know, teach what I'm learning so and adapt what I'm learning. So
we can that's help. Great. We'll get some products sent your way, and you'll be on your
okay. Journey. I'll be happy to be evangelist. I also appreciate that you can put your hydro jugs in the dishwasher, right? Mm-hmm. That's really, really important because, you know, we have a lot of water bottles that bend in the dishwasher that doesn't work very well, or they can't go in the dishwasher, and that you never really get the soap taste out of them. So that's pretty awesome. One of the things I noticed in the material that was sent to me, and I really appreciate, is the I saw a picture of a very diverse group of women with different sizes and different colors. And, you know, as a woman, I really appreciate that in your approach to diversity. So could you tell me a little bit about that?
You want me to take it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, everything we do external, I think it comes from like our internal culture. Like it's just a demonstration of like who we are. It's not just like, hey, this is our marketing incentive and this is like how we come up with ideas. Ideas literally come because we live it every day. Like everybody here has like a Hydrojug on their desk and like they love it. It helps them and they understand why and they can communicate that better. So I think that answers the question. Like if you looked at our workforce, it would reflect what you're seeing on social media. And it's because we can appreciate, like, it's so important to have different opinions, different points of view, and different experiences in your business. The more opinions that you can bring in, and the more different realities that you can bring into a conversation, the odds of your business being successful and making correct decisions go way up. If I am just talking to people that are like me, I'm probably going to make I'm not going to make the most informed decision. So the more that we can diversify and the more that we can get people's opinions, the better we're going to be as a whole. And that's the goal. We understand that if we can succeed as a whole, as a team, then everybody will be better off and more happy. So everyone is 100% bought into that. And I think the marketing side and the things that you see outside of Hydrojug are just reflections of what we're doing internally.
And is your team all there with you, or are they some of them virtual?
So everyone
is here except for support.
Like customer service.
Yeah, customer service. They're still remote. We do have a customer support rep in-house, but I'd say, you know, 90% of them are still remote. We've had really good luck with doing that. So they still come in though. We try to get them in like about twice a month. They'll come in, they'll come to the lunches that we have. Just so we can all get together. But with support too, we still meet twice a week with Zoom calls and everything. So we definitely stay in touch.
So what's your vision for the future as you grow this company?
For me, I think that it's, you know, we're going, like Hayden kind of hit on a little bit earlier, is to add more products, add more sustainable products. As far as like internally too, it's kind of to continue on with what we've been doing. So, you know, we kind of touched on like how we have a bunch of like young people working for the company, and it's to continue to develop those people and see the growth. So like, so I worked a lot in the warehouse, you know, setting up fulfillment, doing all that stuff. And then, you know, my brother came in and he kind of worked behind me, and it's been really cool to see him come in and do way better than I did at it. And so just to continue to do that and to see, you know, to see everyone here grow and change and evolve with the businesses is kind of like, I guess that would be like my goal for it. Hayden, you know, anything to add?
Yeah. So I mean, like what Jake said is a huge piece of it is developing people. I think my biggest thing is because I mean, I've had full-time jobs that like Sunday night would come and I would just be like, man, I do not want to go to work this week. And that's my biggest fear is I want to make sure that the people that come in and work with us are excited for Mondays and they can feel fulfilled in what they do. They can feel like they have a great salary and great benefits, and they can feel like we're building meaningful relationships and that they are evolving as a person. And if you get those things right, I think, like I hit on before, the things outside and external are going to fall into place as well. So in the beginning, I was very focused on the customer and just obsessed with the customer. As I've moved into a leadership role, the people I work with have kind of taken that place and they can worry about the customer. And I'm still involved and I'm still interested, but it's very important to me that that this job never becomes the jobs that I had in the past. So, I mean, we want this to feel like a family business, like the business that we grew up in, and everyone feels that way. And that's really my vision for the next 3 to 5 years is creating that culture and that workplace.
And what did the two of you learn about yourselves and as leaders during COVID?
Yeah, that's every day, like you're just exposed to really difficult situations, it seems like. And we joke about it because we are a younger workforce and we're like, man, like I've never been a CEO. Like I've never even been in like a management position in a career before. So you're always exposed to these experiences that make you learn. You have to learn it. And one of the things from COVID was really staying calm in difficult situations. Leaders have to be the rock and the foundation of the businesses. And when the employees see the bumpy waters ahead, you really have to be that firm foundation that is reinforcing and saying, we're going to be okay. This is the plan. And this is how we're going to execute it. And making sure that you, even if you do have those emotions that are worrisome, you have to be really good and very in tune with those emotions and make sure that you can be that person that the people that work with you can rely on and they can trust in and make sure that things are going to be okay moving forward. So that would be mine for sure.
Yeah. And just to kind of go with that too is really, yeah, to be flexible, to be able to learn to adapt. We didn't know if bottles were going to show up. You know, we were running out of inventory. I think during that time too, as I was reading a book, it's called Endurance. It's about Shackleton, you know, and so it was funny. It was like, you know, that guy's, his ship is stuck in the ice, you know, and it's crushing it. And like, I really did feel like, I was like, man, this is weird how like relatable this book is right now. Like, Hydrojug is getting crushed right now. And, you know, the guys would look to him and he was calm, cool and collected. And, you know, on the inside, you know, he's being eaten up by, like, how am I going to feed these guys? How am I going to get these guys home to their family? And so, he was able to like look forward and focus on like the path ahead instead of looking at all this stuff behind that was all this noise. And that's how he did it. And so just really, you know, remaining positive, thinking proactively, you know, looking at those goals moving forward. And I think that's kind of, yeah, that's definitely what I learned. So.
Wonderful. So give us a peek inside of a company that has a lot of young people. How do you create fun at work?
So actually last year, kind of during COVID, a lot of us picked up golf. It was like the only thing that was open and it was great. It was great to get out and do and spend more time doing that stuff. But one thing too, we always talk about with it is just like those guys that took that up with us is like the relationships that we built with them is like really was like the outcome of it. But here we just moved into this new building and when Hayden was designing it, he put a lot of thought into that. And so like today a basketball hoop just went up out in the warehouse. We have cornhole out there. We have a big coffee bar, massage chair, golf simulator. How big is the gym? Do you know how many feet?
I would say it's a full size gym.
Yeah, full size gym. we've continued on with like the golf, it's kind of like a little men's association, honestly, men and women association. So we'll meet and we'll play in the mornings throughout the summer. We spend a lot of time with the guys too, like outside of work. Like a lot of the people that work here, those just happen to be like, you know, my best friends too that I spend. And yeah, they are my brothers, but even a lot of the other people too. So I think that's how we do it. So do you have any?
I'm so glad I asked. I can't wait to visit you guys. You sound, my mom and dad met on a golf course. So we always say that our spiritual path is golf.
Yeah.
And my dad's 93 and he had two holes in ones in his 80s.
There you go.
And he started playing golf when he was 11.
That's endurance.
That is endurance.
So, you know, it's a game you could play your whole life and still be challenged. So I think that was a good choice. That's a good choice. And I think COVID is about being open to new ideas, right? So golf might have not been on your list before COVID, but I love that story. So tell my listeners how they can learn more about your products and you and follow you. Tell us your website and any of your social media channels that you want to highlight.
Yeah, so the website is thehydrojerk.com. We have a blog on the website. Lexi is working really hard and obviously being really successful at getting our story out. So we look forward to more media that we will post on the site as well. And then we have an Instagram, it's just HydroJug. And then we're working on a YouTube channel. We actually just hired our first full-time in-house videographer. So a lot more content and behind the scenes to come on YouTube, and our channel is HydroJug on there as well.
I hope you'll film some golf outings. I'd like to see that.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure meeting you both and hearing about your beautiful company and your brotherhood and family business. And I appreciate that you're helping all your stakeholders feel like family. So thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Very, very honored to be on.
Thanks for listening to the Compassionate Leaders podcast. You can learn more about us at CompassionateLeadersCircle.com. Please join us each week as we shine a light on compassionate leaders making a positive impact on their communities and the world.